You guys, when I'm capturing the flag, you need to guard me! You need to guard me when I'm capturing the flag! Move out of my way!
Welcome to Rage Quit Radio. Sam has joined the channel.
What the f*** is with this guy?
Fowler has joined the channel.
No! God, please, no! No!
Negative Apex has joined the channel.
How overpowered these pistols are!
Enemy pentakill.
They're capturing C! They're capturing C! Oh my god, they're capturing C! Now we're gonna lose.
This sucks.
Welcome to Rage Quit Radio. What's going on, everybody? I am your host, Lance, aka Sev, joined by my awesome best friends of all time in the universe, Ian, aka Prowler, and Josh, aka Negative Apex. What's going on, guys?
We're not.
Oh, great. Hey, look, Ian's there. I thought he was taking a dump.
Like always.
What?
Yeah.
All right, Ian.
You're taking a dump.
Ian, do you need to go ahead?
He's quietly here.
Do you need to go ahead and go take a bathroom break, buddy?
No, I'll do that like 10 minutes in while you guys are rambling about nothing.
Oh, okay, that's good.
I do like to ramble about nothing.
That's what the show's all about. It's a show about nothing.
Woohoo! Am I Kramer? I want to be Kramer.
Dude, I'm so glad you got that reference. Oh, that's great. Oh, anyway, well, this is a show. What were you going to say?
No, never mind.
That's right. Anyway, this is a show about video games. Obviously, it's a show, not a show about nothing. But today we got a few things going on. We're going to talk about the April Fool's developers jokes that was put out last week. Elder Scrolls already has content that's going to be released later this month. There is a giant shark Easter egg in Battlefield 4. Origin. Oh, crap, my notes. Origin is going to all digital. Wow, I need to stop doing that. Josh, take over. Continue reading for me.
He accidentally switched to his Thomas the Train porn.
It's so like, oh god, there's Thomas the Train Engine porn going on in my background. Whoa.
Josh, what else do we have going on?
We're going to be talking about Elder Scrolls. They've already released a new zone, which is pretty awesome. There's a giant shark in Battlefield 4. Origins going all digital. Guild Wars 2 had a quality of life patch that was probably really badly needed. PlanetSide 2 gameplay has been altered, and I personally feel it's been improved. We've got the Watch Dogs recommended specs revealed. We have Xbox TV news that Microsoft's getting new content for it. The GameSpy servers are dead. And let's see, Xbox One has an official Xbox 360 emulator. And talking about some of the games these days and
some
them
of the games
going
these days. Yeah, I know. It's not easy. It's not easy.
You should do it again.
No,
yeah.
No.
You should do it again.
No, I think it was great.
I would just go watch Thomas the Train Engine porn.
I think it was perfect.
Wow.
Anyway, so starting off, April Fools.
Chugga.
Okay, that's not funny. That's not funny. April Fools. All right, can we talk about April Fools, please? Is that okay?
How many days? That was like 6 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Well, I wanted to talk about it because there were some pretty funny, you know, what'd you call it?
I don't know.
Pranks?
I don't know what you found funny about Optimus Prime being in Titanfall. It's like, I'm finally going to buy this game. What?
Optimus Prime? That's awesome.
What about the Half-Life 3 reveal being on the Wii exclusive?
Okay. If you believe Half-Life 3 is coming out, there's something wrong with you.
I mean,
so, yeah, that's just
if you
a
fall
mean
for
prank.
That, you're like, yeah, no. Bigfoot does not exist. Half-Life 3 does not exist.
Yeah,
here
you can't,
we go.
You can't prank about something that is like never coming out. You know, that's just a sore subject. Everybody's been waiting for Half-Life 3
it's
for
like waiting
a million
for Tom
years.
Cruise to come out, man. You know it's going to happen, but it will never happen. Never.
It's like the
Our
best
expectations
analogy.
Expectations will never be satisfied.
What do you guys think
Dude,
about
the
the
Guild Wars 2 bobblehead?
Oh, okay.
Man, that was awesome.
See how it is.
I saw screenshots. I thought that was pretty hilarious.
It's funny.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that funny. I mean, it was just kind of more of a ha 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 kind of thing, but.
Well, it's April Fool's. It's pretty great.
I personally thought League of Legends was like, hey guys, what can we tick people off more with? Hey, let's make a game mode that makes you want to break your computer. Yeah, yeah, let's make that. Because that's what they did.
Did you guys see the one that Star Wars The Old Republic did? That's not on this list here.
No, I didn't.
What
did they do?
Running for another day.
Oh no!
It came
servers.
Out with a quality of game patch.
Oh my goodness! No, that actually, so they made it to where the starships that you fly, you now fly asteroids instead, which I thought was kind of funny.
That seems stupid.
Your starship plummets like a rock, like. Dude, population
like,
of that game.
I'm pretty sure you
like that, like the game itself.
Exactly. Google Maps did a Pokemon challenge.
Yeah, dude, I love that one, man. That was
Pokemon,
awesome.
Pokemon,
gotta catch them all.
Did they say that this was going to stay?
I wish. That'd be awesome.
They
need a Pokemon MMO.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Dude, they need a Pokemon MMO and they need a Pokemon MOBA.
Ooh, a Pokemon MOBA would be sweet.
What about the Garrus body pillow? I don't know about you, but I would love me some Garrus.
Dude, I'd get that for my sister.
That's weird.
Only because she chose Garrus.
Don't tell us. Don't. It's okay. You don't have to elaborate, Lance.
Yes, I do.
We're okay with knowing. Don't tell us anymore.
I want to tell you more. Arma 3 had a carts mod.
I saw the trailer to that.
Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Split. All in all, it was, you know, it was pretty cool, some of the April Fool's pranks. Do you guys think that developers should really be continuing to, like, waste time and money on these things? Like, is it really that worth it?
Yeah.
Totally. Well, it depends. It depends on, like, the game and the developer that does it. Like, the Titanfall Optimus Prime trailer was awesome.
Right.
Totally worth it.
Right.
But if DayZ had like sat there and worked on an April's Fool prank in game and implemented it, I would have been so mad because they need to be working on other stuff.
Now, you see, I think that companies need to come up with better ideas. Like Riot, they could have had their servers run normal for one day as an April Fool's.
Guys, we fixed our server problems.
Oh, wow. I don't believe that.
They could have just made that announcement on April Fool's. That would have been great.
So, I definitely can agree with what you say on there. I think that makes a whole lot of sense. But I wonder what we're going to get next year.
Not Half-Life 3.
They're going to announce a release date for Half-Life 3, and then after April Fool's, we're like, hey, guys, we were just kidding.
If this E3, if we hear anything about Half-Life 3, I will be... I'll probably fall dead back in my chair.
I'll shoot. If we hear something about Half-Life 3, I'll shoot myself in the foot.
I would... Dude, can we get that on record?
Like run around
actually shoot
around
yourself?
My house, not shoot myself in the foot.
That is how much I know Half-Life 3 isn't coming out.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to have like a banner Half-Life 3 2015 and you're going to have to do that just because they did it.
Oh, man.
We're going to make that guy shoot himself in the foot.
So the Elder Scrolls Online just came out, like literally just came out, and they've already announced that they're going to be releasing content later this month too, and it's actually quite a bit of content. I don't know if you guys actually looked at the link there, but they're adding a whole new zone.
They're adding a max player zone.
Yeah, which basically means you're gonna have challenge groups up to from 4 to 12 players, which kind of reminds me of like Guild Wars way back in the day.
Have you noticed that a lot of games are doing that now? They're like coming out with content the month or the month after they release. Like, we didn't have enough time to put this in, so let's like plaster it as new content and put it in.
Do you think that actually came out with new content?
I would like to think that they just came out with it.
I doubt they did.
Yeah.
I think because people blow through content so fast these days, that they have to have something in reserve to put out to keep people occupied.
Yep.
Because what was it in Old Republic? There was people that blasted through the content, like all of it, in like the first month.
Let's not talk about that,
dude.
Of course, yeah.
Wait, it didn't have
much content to begin with.
Wasn't that us though? We did that in like a week.
Yeah, I mean, we were max level in a week. But we hadn't like finished all of the raids and stuff.
Not every MMO can launch with, you know, 8 WoW expansions.
So. That's true. I think that was probably had already been planned. It was a max level area for veteran equipped people to go into. So it was probably something to do for people that were already clearing the dungeons and they needed something, you know, they needed to put something out for them. So,
well, I'm really happy that this is coming. I haven't noticed any other games doing this recently. Maybe you guys have, but this is the first time I've heard of particularly an MMO that you pay month to month for come out with content this quickly. And it kind of just goes back to what we were talking about like a few weeks ago about, you know, getting your money's worth for what you're paying. And this just kind of gives me higher hopes for games like WildStar. Isn't that going to be a pay to play?
Yeah, it's going to be a pay to play, which has a neat thing where you can like buy game time with in-game credits and stuff, so technically you can play it for free if you have a ton of time on your hands.
Really?
Yeah, it's subscription based.
Like Tor?
No.
I haven't played Tor in a long time. Basically, people can buy game time, put it on the auction house, and then players can purchase it with credits.
Oh, that's bad. Why do you think that's bad?
No, that's horrible. It's great for people. Their reasoning is it's great for people who have a lot of money.
So you can get more play time.
Or
just get married.
It's an option for people that want to play the game that have a lot of time on their hands but don't have money. I think it could possibly ruin the economy. Who knows? But there's so many other games where you can pay to Guild Wars 2. You can pay real money to get in-game currency. So it basically just takes out the middleman of gold farmers these days.
Yeah, I guess that's good. Even though way back when I did use gold farmers, I just won't talk about it.
Yeah, it's okay. We've all done it. Yeah.
Nope, I've never done it.
Uh-huh.
Never done it. Anyways, I don't know. It seems weird to me though, because like MMOs used to take such a hard stance on gold farmers,
mm-hmm.
and now they're giving out credits for money. They've become the gold farmers. MMOs are the gold farmers. Yeah, MMOs are the gold farmers now because they have so much. Like, that's my biggest gripe, is paying a subscription for an MMO and then having a cap shop in the game.
Yeah.
That is my biggest gripe.
Yeah, I can completely understand that.
If you have a subscription, you should be able to get everything in that cash shop.
For free. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
my biggest gripe with games. But anyways, back to the original thing. I think it's cool Elder Scrolls put out content this quickly, and hopefully it'll be a pattern for them to put out content, because we all know the last one, TOR, totally did not put out enough content.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Didn't put out, period. Wink.
Yeah.
So in Battlefield 4, there's a really funny Easter egg towards the Megalodon. Did you guys watch this video?
Megalodon?
Yeah, dude, that's freaking awesome, man.
Dude, I could not stop laughing.
All you want is a giant shark in your game, you know?
Well, I was...
Why would you not want a giant shark in your game?
I thought originally it just kind of randomly occurred, you know, and I just was trying to find videos of guys that were actually just fighting, jets flying, and a giant shark just came out and like grabbed a jet or something.
Jaws!
Yeah. But I was slightly saddened when I found out that it had to be 10 people in one area in on a certain map. And that was the only way to like trigger the shark.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
it's freaking awesome though. It's a giant shark. It's so freaking awesome.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely hilarious, and it's kind of funny.
When 10 players of your team disappear, you know what they're doing.
Yeah,
you know what happened.
Guys, follow me. We're going in.
Where's my team? Man, it's like as big as one of the islands. If you watch the video, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's huge. And once it jumps out of the water, and if it lands on the people, it will obviously kill them. And I think... no, I was just saying. I thought I saw something fly into it, but never mind. But I was just thinking, it'd be really cool for more games to do kind of stuff like this. I know there's Easter eggs and things, you know, of sort in these games, but I would really love to see more stuff like this. I couldn't stop laughing when I saw that. Okay, what else? Origin is going to all digital. This is kind of old, but
EA.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't really affect too much. It's just something to put out there that you'll no longer be able to get box sets and stuff like that, which isn't a big deal because most stuff is, you know, Steam's been all digital for ages. Now Origin's doing it. So it's not really affecting a lot of people except for those that like to collect the boxes and stuff.
See, that's what I'm thinking. Is I feel really bad for those kind of people because...
Well, I mean, this doesn't affect like people that buy EA games. They can still go to Walmart and buy their game just on Origin.
Yeah, you just can't order them through Origin. Yeah,
you just go through Amazon if you want to.
Yeah, or you know, you have to go to like a GameStop or something to buy the game.
Oh, okay. So this news is not quite as grim as I thought it was.
No. It's the Origin store itself is all digital now.
Oh, okay.
It's sell physical copies of their product.
So. Yeah, they're changing it basically to the same format as Steam already.
They're trying so hard to be like Steam.
Yep, and nobody wants to use them because
well, they have to if we want to be Battlefield 4 and
yeah, I know, right? Titanfall.
You have to use it for Titanfall.
Yeah.
Guys,
it's Titanfall's downloaded through Origin.
Well, put Optimus Prime in the game, I'll buy it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
That would be pretty sick. Well, like I said, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be then. I was really disappointed when I saw this. But at the end of the day, I mean, who cares? Like, they're trying to be like Steam. It makes sense. Also, when Steam launched, it was not at all perfect or the way it is now. So could EA or Origin get to that point?
Nope.
You guys don't
think so? Nobody likes EA.
Dude, I can't stand EA, but they are trying.
They only
hard.
Sell EA games on Origin, though. So.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I don't think you can get EA games on Steam.
Can you? Well, you can get like you can get Mass Effect 1 and 2, but you can't get 3.
Okay.
But so I think get, some like, of the Dead older Space EA and... games, some of the older stuff you can get, like probably before they had Origin. But then they stopped allowing it on Steam.
Gotcha.
So
cool. Well, that's not so bad. Guild Wars 2 quality of life patch. Josh, do you want to talk more about this? This is apparently a pretty important patch that's coming out.
Yeah. So I used to play Guild Wars 2 all the time. Kind of stopped playing it, but I still love the game. And this quality of life patch is redoing some major aspects.
Does it?
They release content every 2 weeks, and most of it has been story content. And so in this patch is taking a completely different turn. It's not releasing any story, living story aspects. It's just redoing a lot of the systems that are in there now to just make the gameplay better, which is why it's called a quality of life patch. It's redoing the trait system. It's adding in a new trait and redoing some of the existing traits. The new trait is a Grandmaster, so it allows you to build your character a little bit differently. One interesting thing is they're allowing you to respec your traits for free now. And from anywhere, you don't have to go to a trainer anymore. So that'll allow you to experiment really easily, which I think that's a good thing. You had to spend like 5-10 silver to retrain your traits.
Is that a lot of money?
Something? Nah, not really. It wasn't that bad, but you did have to go to a city, buy the respec, train it, and I think it did add up like most games. So I think this will be nice just for experimentation.
Can you do it multiple times or just
they've just taken out the whole you having to buy to respec. Yeah, I like that about a lot of games. I never got the thing like when I went back to TOR and I played it like 2 months ago, and I just played for one night and I had to spend money to respec my character. And I hate that.
And the more you do it, the more
expensive it gets.
You get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't allow you to be like, oh, this team needs a healer. Let me just respec real quick. And I hate that about the games that make you pay money. So I'm glad they did that.
WoW does that too, right?
Yes. Well, they did. I don't know if they still do.
I don't think they do anymore.
But not 100%. Another thing that I really liked was free tier unlocks. As you leveled up, you unlocked tiers of your traits to allow you to put more traits into a single tier. And it used to cost like 15 silver. Then it was like 1 gold, and then it was like 10 gold. And so that last one was pretty expensive. And so now they've done away with that too. And I like that as well, because it just makes leveling up easier. You don't have to save money so that you'll be able to redo your traits. It seems like a lot of the trait stuff is going to be helping newer players understand the system better. And allow people to experiment more, especially for new people that don't really know how traits work. And that was part of the rework that they did, where they said they're making it easier to understand what the traits do. Basically, it's just a quality of life patch. There are some other things like as you unlock skins and stuff. Cosmetic items, it's going to be shared across all your characters' accounts, or all your characters across your entire account, is what I was trying to say. And so I really like that. So if you have a cool like cosmetic sword that you bought from the store for one character, you'll be able to use it on like all of your characters, which I think that was really cool. Yeah.
So does this make you want to go back to play the game?
For me, probably not, just because I've given up on it such a long time ago. I haven't played it for months now. I think it's going to put in a little bit more time into the game for people that have been playing it. As always, they're doing a really good job with the living story. I just read an article the other day about they put in some content and they didn't put it in the patch notes. And so like when people started discovering this, it like blew up on the forums about this place that was new, and like a month later they started doing a story with it. And so they're doing really good job with their living story, and they've begun to implement things to, you know, make the community speculate and have the community drive the world and the story. And so if you really like the Guild Wars story, this quality of life patch is going to just make the game mechanics better. And as you know, every 2 weeks they release game story, the living story. And so, I mean, dude, I cannot say really anything bad about Guild Wars 2. It's a great free to play game.
Well, cool.
This quality of life patch, really just enhances what was there. They've added a lot more stuff. They've simplified the UI. So Guild Wars 2 is always improving. It's a great free-to-play game.
Cool. So,
yeah. That's basically the...
Hopefully this patch works out for Guild Wars. I'm sure they need it. Planet Side 2 has a new content coming out, I believe.
Yeah, this was really cool when I was reading on it.
First phase is what they call it.
Apparently, I don't remember what they're calling it.
Yeah, it looks like, well, it just says first phase of Planet Side 2's mission system is now live, which apparently what it does is, as a player, you're running around in a region and it will assign a mission for you, I guess, which will help for people being lost, wandering around, not knowing what to do. It'll automatically tell you, like, go, you know, capture this facility, or it's a contested facility. And apparently, if you don't want to do whatever mission you're assigned, you can just head to another region and get a new mission. So the phases is not actually what it's called. It's just system mission. Yeah, apparently,
they're releasing updates and phases is what it is.
And then a few phases from now, it seems like the mission system will introduce rewards. Player-created missions. That's kind of cool. I wonder how that would work. And an expanded amount of available mission types. So I'm guessing it will probably be just the normal go attack here, capture this kind of thing.
I always loved this game, but I just sucked at it. And I could never tell, was because did I really suck at it, or was it because I didn't pay money for it? You know,
Planet Side 2 wasn't pay to win though, was it?
You could buy a lot of stuff in Planet Side 2.
I don't know if it was pay to win per se. I mean, because I think you could unlock stuff at least temporarily. I don't know. I played it probably a month, off and on.
Yeah.
But this patch that they've released is actually something that's kind of wanting me to download Planet Side 2 again, because when I played it, it's just such a huge multiplayer game that you really don't know what to do at the start. And so you're just kind of going to these areas and trying to figure out what to do. And so as they're implementing these missions, I think it's going to help new players figure out what's going on in a region. It gives you an objective to work toward,
right?
Which is something I think that the game needed. And with what they're going to be rolling out later on is like rewards and stuff for completing the missions and stuff. I think this is going to be something that's really, really good for Planet Side 2. And it's something that's kind of drawing me back, saying, oh, well, you know, do I want to check it out in a month once they, you know, release a little bit more on these missions? Because I think it's going to help new players, and I think it's going to help the overall teamwork of your allies, because you have a specific mission in each region that everyone in the area can work toward.
What's up,
one
everybody?
Goal.
Damon here with IGN News. As Sony Entertainment prepares to bring,
I'm watching the video right now, and it's funny, they kind of describe it as massively multiplayer Halo.
Namely, his team names to attract an Xbox audience.
It's more like a more sci-fi Battlefield. Multiplayer. That's really what it is.
I mean, I wish the graphics were better in it. That was something that kind of pushed me away from it. I don't really like the graphics.
Well, I mean, if you have a good system,
yeah,
you can crank it up and it looks really good.
Yeah, but it's also a huge multiplayer game, so you can't, like, you know, it's hard to put out really, really great graphics for it.
Yeah, the funny thing is I remember playing it, and I don't remember the graphics looking this good. It may have just been because I was playing it on my PC instead of my laptop at the time. But yeah, the graphics actually look pretty good. I don't know what you're talking about, Ian. Very
soon. Stay tuned. No, I'm saying that they look really good. You just need a good system.
Oh, okay. That's what you're saying. Gotcha. Yeah. Also, it's saying from next month, players of Sony Online Entertainment titles will be able to sign up for All Access subscription for $15 a month, which I guess means that it'll be available on the PlayStation 4. At least that's what I'm taking from it. Because why would they put that on there?
Well, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I know it's on the PS3.
I think I remember them saying it was going to the PlayStation 4. It's not going to be cross-compatible, though.
Right. Which kind of sucks, but there's already so many people playing it on the PC, though.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's got a really good audience, and like I said, I think this patch is kind of... It kind of makes me want to download it and try it out, because I think it's going to be something that's good for the game.
Yeah, maybe we should try it out one day whenever we're doing a show. We don't have a lot to talk about. Maybe we can all play PlanetSide and give give commentary on what we're doing and seeing. I think that'd be pretty cool. Watch Dogs. The system requirements have been confirmed. This is a game that I'm really looking forward to, and I actually think I'm going to try to do a review on it for the show. It's been announced, like, I don't know how long ago, and the game's always looked very beautiful. But the requirements, the minimum requirements is, let's see, the processor is Intel Core 2 Duo, 2.6 gigahertz, and or an AMD 3.0. The memory says minimum 6 gigs. The graphics is DirectX 11, 1 gig video RAM, or NVIDIA GTX 460, or
Look
an
how
AMD.
Big that game is, though.
Yeah, it's 25 gigs. 25 gigs.
25, man. And if you look at the recommended, it's like, it's probably the biggest processor
8-core
requirements I have ever seen for a PC game.
Yeah, an 8-core freaking Intel.
You know, recommend it's going to be for like high settings, you know, ultra high settings. So I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean,
this is a multi-platform game. It's going to be on the 360. It's going to be on the PS3, and it's going to be on the next-gen console. Why in the world does it require this much on the PC?
Well, it's like, dude, like, for me, I have a 1.8 gigahertz processor. So I just barely make the minimum system requirements. And I made my PC, which is a pretty good PC, about a year ago. So it's pretty crazy. It's going to...
Yeah.
Probably most gamers aren't going to be able to play it on the PC. Low setting, I guess. Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to be playing it on minimums. Like for me, I'm going to have to be playing it on minimum or low.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what all have to be playing it on, too.
It's an open world game, so...
I mean, it's really just the processor, though, that's really freaking high. Like a 2.6 gigahertz or a 3 gigahertz AMD is a fairly high
minimum
requirement.
Those are very, very old processors, though.
The recommended is for the i7.
Yeah, those are almost current. That's the top of the line FX processor. The 900 series or the 9000 series, and the 37 series was last generation. Most games, they go back several generations in order to play. So I'm a little surprised by this. So, I don't know.
If you want to play this thing really on... Yeah, well, it should be. If you want to play this thing on high settings, you're going to need practically a brand new computer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll be worth that much. I'll definitely be playing it on probably just minimum settings. Xbox TV News, Microsoft is getting content. They are turning to a few celebrities, like Seth Green, Sarah Silverman, and Michael Cera for Xbox shows.
Well, I mean, you remember at their press release, you know, when they first unveiled the Xbox One, all they talked about was TV. TV, 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 TV. All right, so and they promised their own content, that they would be putting their own shows out, blah, 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 kind of what Netflix does now. And they're just starting to pick up people. So that's kind of what's going on.
Yeah, I think that's stupid that they talk so much about it, and now is at the point where the Xbox One's already been out for a little while. They're starting to do some shows and stuff.
Yeah, the only thing that excites me is they are still doing the Halo TV series.
Right.
Which, I mean, if they make that a exclusive, which I don't see how they would do, you know, like you can only watch this if you have an Xbox One. They're not going to do that. They're going to have it like if, you know, you buy it through the Microsoft store or whatever. So, plus, I don't know.
It's going to end up on YouTube anyway.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, legitimately, I don't know how they're going to work this out. Like, you know, can you only watch this on Microsoft devices, like the Surface, the Windows Phone, and the Xbox? You know, I mean, what does that mean?
Okay, listen to this. The very last paragraph, it says that since Microsoft shows will be directly tied to gaming consoles, the company is trying to come up with new and unique ways of making video content feel more interactive. According to Boomerang, every Street United will allow users to unlock extra scenes and play mini games during the show. Humans will go to a different route, offering fans... I don't know what it means by humans. It's in it's italicized. I don't know. We'll go to
it's
a different
the name
route.
Of the show.
Oh, gotcha.
So it would unlock... It's like an interactive
Why would I want to play
show?
Mini games during a show.
That's what I'm saying. If they make it like an interactive show, like what was that PS3 game called? It's like an interactive movie.
Come on. Heavy Rain?
I don't think that's what they mean, though.
That would be really, really awesome. But
yeah, but I don't think that's what they mean is like an interactive story.
Says, humans will go a different route. That's what I take from that.
Well, it also says
there'd be some way to change the path of the story of the main show you're watching.
Yeah. Well, it says that offering fans a way to follow what happens to characters outside of the show's plot.
That's basically, I mean, a lot of shows have done stuff like that. Just like on the website where they have additional information.
Like
so.
The Walking Dead had webisodes.
Right. And I think Falling Skies had stuff on their website with additional content and stuff. So, I mean, shows have been doing that for a long time. And I guess you'll just be able to access them along with the show on your Xbox One. I mean, it's nothing spectacular. I guess it's interesting. I mean, who buys an Xbox One to watch TV, though?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's something interesting that they're going to be doing, I guess.
As long as it's free content. I don't see the harm in this. If you own an Xbox One, if you have to pay for this, no.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't think that they would make you pay for it, but it is Microsoft. Who knows? GameSpy servers are going dead or are dead. Has this been confirmed that they're already gone?
May 31st,
yeah.
Whoa. Apparently there's a list of games that will be affected. What are some of the games?
Not right now. There's not a list. There is on the article that I'm looking at has like some of the games that might possibly be affected. They said that no official list has been announced, and most publishers haven't made any comments about it. But some of the games that could possibly be affected are like all of the older Battlefield games, like 1944, Battlefield 2, all of these games that have had their server shut down and were you could only play them through game hosting sites like GameSpy and stuff. The first Borderlands, some of the older Civilization 3 and 4.
And I know that
Halo Combat Evolved for PC. Yeah,
they closed Halo, and 2142 has been closed for a while. So.
Yeah, and so these games, like, you can only play on sites like GameSpy where they host the servers and stuff.
And that doesn't mean that there's no servers, but GameSpy had a good amount of servers, and they're just not
GameSpy was one of the like the larger companies to do this. There are other companies. It's a shame that GameSpy, though, since they're such well-known large company, is shutting down.
They've been around for a long time. Apparently,
so it sucks that they're shutting down the servers for these games.
Yeah, apparently Activision and Capcom have said that this will not affect any of their games. And Bohemia explained that Arma 2 and 3 will just simply migrate to Steamworks. So that's kind of, you know, something to help everyone keep, settled there. And the Company of Heroes games will also actually migrate to Steamworks later in the year. So you can rest easy on that one, too.
And I think the actual site of GameSpy, like, shut down sometime in February 2013. So it's not like this is a shock that this happened. So.
Yeah, right.
Man, I remember we all used to play Battlefield 2142. That was a fun game.
I remember all the games you had to get through GameSpy or had a GameSpy client like, do you want to install this? And you're like,
do you want to download GameSpy as you install Battlefield 2142?
Nope.
It's usually a no. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's sad. It's been around for
sure. They did support a lot of old games, so.
Well, the Xbox One will have an official Xbox 360 emulator when Microsoft finishes, quote, thinking it through.
When they realize how much money they can make, then they will make it.
Yeah, this whole subject pisses me off to no end. Why can they not just make the new systems backward compatible?
Well, you can get because mad at Microsoft, but the PS4 is still not backwards compatible.
I know. I'm mad at both Microsoft and Sony for this one because there's no reason that it can't be backward compatible. They're just douchebags, and they want to re-release all the games on the 360 to the Xbox One to make more money.
This is my thing about the new consoles. The new consoles are so close to PC. They don't have to be as well optimized, so they probably don't need some of the same engines that the old 360 and PS3 titles had to run on. So I can see why maybe they couldn't be backwards compatible right off the bat, but they could make it happen if they wanted to.
Yeah, and that's what it makes me so annoyed. Like, if I could play PlayStation 3 games on the PlayStation 4, I would have already bought a PlayStation 4.
And
because I want to play Ni No Kuni, and I want to play The Last of Us, and I want to play all those older games on the PlayStation 3 that are so great.
And remember, Sony announced that people that had the PS3 versions of their games could upgrade to the PS4 versions for a small amount of money. They didn't specify or anything like that, but I knew Final Fantasy 14 free.
They allowed everybody to change
upgrade from PS3.
Yeah,
and that's a $30 game. that, like, if you had on your PS3 and you bought a PS4.
That was Final Fantasy's doing, not Sony's doing.
I know, but I'm just saying, it doesn't mean that other game companies will not do the same.
Yeah, but not for the games like Last of Us or Ni No Kuni. They're not going to say, oh, you know, because The Last of Us is getting a re-release.
Why would you be like the cash cow of the whole freaking console? Be like, no, you can get this free. No, that's dumb.
Yeah, but it pisses me off that it's not backward compatible from the start. I think it's total bullcrap because they could do it if they wanted to.
I see what Josh means because the fact that they already did it with the Xbox 360 and the Xbox and vice versa with the PlayStation.
Yeah, just, what was it? The PlayStation 2 that could play original PlayStation games?
Remember, it was the only first and second generation of the PS3s that were backwards compatible. It's a little known fact that the newer PS3s are not backwards compatible.
Oh yeah, we know that. And I thought he was referring to, I think, the PlayStation 2.
Compatible.
I'm referring to any backwards compatible, really. I mean, the fact that it's been done means it can still be done.
And again, the only reason it's not being done is because it's money. And it's bullcrap because you're already freaking putting out $60 per game and $500 for a console and $60 for controllers. And
I mean, it's bullcrap. That's one of the reasons why I love PC so much. It's because I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. When my computer,
but I want freaking good games that are on the freaking consoles that come to PC.
Yeah.
And I plan on buying a PS3 and a PS4. So
yeah, but when's that gonna be? Like 10 years from now? When PlayStation 8 is out?
Hey, don't make fun of Ian not having any money.
Wow.
No, I kid.
Yeah, and when is that going to be? 10 years from now? Because you're a poor ass broke person.
Totally not what I meant by it, but okay.
If Lance paid me more for my private sessions, I could buy one. But he just doesn't think I'm worth it.
Oh, that's
so.
Wrong,
question to you guys: do you guys feel like games nowadays are getting a lot easier? Do you feel like hardcore games
way too easy?
Look at Blizzard. I mean, they've like dumbed down their freaking game a ton.
World of Warcraft is a good example of that. StarCraft also is a good example of that.
It's every genre. Thief is getting criticized for that.
Splinter Cell.
Hitman Absolution right now is free if you have Xbox Gold. If you have Xbox Live, you can get Hitman Absolution. It is the easiest Hitman game I have ever played. And it ticks me off because it used to be different. It's like they're trying to add things from other games to make it easier or more enjoyable for the player. Yeah.
Because they want a larger player base, which is ruining the game industry. We can look at early examples of it, like Ninja Gaiden.
Gamers.
Yeah, one and two, like Ninja Gaiden. Three was easy, right? Yeah. You know, they dumbed it down because some people wouldn't play it because it was too hard. But the fact is that nowadays, since every single genre is doing it, since all the game companies are doing it, games are getting boring as hell because they're easy. There's no challenge to them. Big problem with MMOs today is there's no more challenge in it. There's no more discovering things for yourself, having to figure things out. Everything is already in the patch notes. Everything's already in the game guides. Everything, and, you know.
I mean, you could expand on this forever because it's not just video games. It's life in general. All the apps we have for everything is to make life easier. Well, for gaming, all they think about is money, so they want to attract everyone, not the guy that still lives in his mom's basement.
Yeah, I mean, they're making games, they're trying to make games that attract 3-year-olds and, you know, 18-year-olds and 27-year-olds. I mean, that's three freaking different generations. all three of those aren't going to want to play the same game, but they're just dumbing games down so much. I can't think of any truly hardcore games out there that aren't indie games. You can look at
stuff. That's a really good point.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's only indie games that are genuinely hardcore. We have DayZ that started out as a mod that was can be considered hardcore because when you died, you died. Which, yes, it was picked up eventually by a big name company, but only after it proved that it was super popular.
And see, real quick on that, on the matter of DayZ and how that actually has gotten easier. It's almost impossible to find on the DayZ mod to find an original just straight up DayZ server that doesn't have everything already thrown at you from the beginning.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Even the DayZ mod, it was like
the standalone is the closest you can come to the original mod.
To the original mod, yeah. Because now any server that you log on, you have a pistol, you have three clips, you have four bandages,
you have a taser, a backpack, and there's vehicles everywhere.
There's 30 cars around you that you can pick from to go drive, and one of the indie games that I think of right off the top of my head, because we're kind of talking about MMOs and stuff, is Path of Exile.
They have
the normal mode, but then you have the hardcore mode where you can actually play the game, and if you die, you die. Your character is gone, and that's an MMO. And unfortunately, I don't really like the Diablo style combat system, looking down on your character and stuff. I mean, yeah, it was an enjoyable game.
Some interesting situations happen.
Yes. I won't down talk the game like at all, because it's a great game. The developers have done a really good job with it. It's just not my personal style of gameplay. But that's the problem with indie games, is these indie developers can only go so far. And it would be awesome to see an indie developer that has the cash and the resources of a AAA game make a hardcore MMO or a hardcore shooter or a hardcore RPG or something like that. I would love to see a WoW style game or an Old Republic style game. I'm talking about super hardcore though, dude. Like
Final Fantasy.
I always promote
that game.
You can look at games like Tibia in the old days, which is an old 2D MMO.
Wait, is that an STD or a 2D game?
It's a 2D game. It was called Tibia. And like when you died in that game, you lost like several levels worth of XP, and you like went down levels, and it was a game that was super hard to level in and stuff.
I think it should be like SAO, and when you die, you die.
Dude, oh my gosh. I would love that, dude. If I had the option to get sucked into SAO, I would totally do it. And what we're talking about, people, is it's an anime, Sword Art Online.
I know exactly what it is.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, it's an awesome anime. But I would love to see a fully fleshed out MMO, not an indie little MMO, not something like that, but like an actual good MMO that's very balanced, because it would have to be very balanced.
That's like
impossible. Because if you die, you die. You know? I would love to see a game like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the thing that kind of drew us to DayZ, was it's like you die, you lose everything.
It's so depressing. It gives you to have permadeath in the game. It's like, I got all this stuff, yay me. You get in a firefight and you're terrified of all the hours, the days, the weeks you've spent to get this crap. You die, it's gone.
It's real emotions.
I do believe Ultima.
You keep playing it though. Like, you get super depressed because you die, but you keep playing it because it gives you that real emotion,
fear. That's what it does.
It does. And you just can't get that type of gameplay from most games these days.
Yeah, I do believe Ultima Online was the first MMO to introduce permadeath. Which came out, it was a really, really old game.
Ultima is one of the original MMOs.
Yeah.
history.
But yeah, you die, you die. I mean, it was like, it was a big deal. And I would really like to see, you know, games get back to that hardcore mode. That was one reason why I really liked Fallout New Vegas, not because of the permadeath part, but because they had a hardcore mode that you could turn on that actually made it extremely difficult. I really do miss that kind of stuff, and I definitely think you are dead on about indie games pretty much keeping that now. And hopefully in the future we'll get more, well, you know, we'll get more of that.
Yeah, see, unfortunately I don't see it happening though, because the reason AAA games are AAA and get all this financing to play their games is because they have to sit there in front of a board committee and say, this and this is why we're doing this, because it will attract the most buyers.
Call of Duty.
And yeah, exactly. And so, and you sit there in front of a board of directors and say, I want to make a hardcore game. They're going to say, well, that's not really going to attract all of the people that we want it to.
I still like it.
Yeah. And so that's why you see mostly in MMOs. That's why you see almost every single MMO that has permadeath is an indie MMO, an older 2D MMO, or like newer MMOs, but that have like very, very low player bases. And that aren't great quality, but they're not 2D. So it's really sad. I would love to see a game creator take the risk to put out something that was super hardcore, that was meant for people that wanted that thrill of, hey, I don't want to die. You know, could you imagine having an MMO where you have to sit there and plan out your, before you even go into the dungeon, because you know, if you go into that dungeon all willy nilly, you're going to die and you're going to lose your character. Like, that's super cool.
Yeah. Well, that's about all the time we got for that topic. do you have your notes for your quickie, Josh?
Yes, I do. Okay. All right. For my quickie. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead. When you're ready.
Oh, yeah. Are you sure you can stand it? You can sure you can stand the pressure of my quickie? Okay. All right. The first of Titanfall's DLC will cost $10. The Last of Us will be coming to the PS4 with all of the DLC. No other details were given, so tune into Rage Quit Radio for updated details in the future. Halo's Spartan Assault, the top-down shooter, will be coming to Steam April 4th, which has now already passed. So if you guys want to check it out, check it out. Alien Isolation will be released on October 7th, Sega has announced. The survival horror shooter will be available globally on PS4, Xbox One, PS3, Xbox 360, and PC from that date. Mind Zero has been given a May 27th release date for North America and Europe for the PlayStation Vita. Amy Henning joins Visceral Games and EA to head up a new Star Wars game. And Ridley Scott is working on a Halo feature said to follow the same format as Forward Unto Dawn, and it's set to release later this year. And that's all for my quickie.
Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody, and we hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode of Rage Quit Radio. And thanks, Ian and Josh, for joining me. Again, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/RageQuitRadio. On Twitch, where we stream frequently, that's /RageQuitRadio. And on Twitter, on /MLRRageQuitRadio. And again, thanks for joining us. And thanks again, Josh and Ian. Hope you guys have a great night.